Are you ready? Welcome to Radio Grognard King Size, the OSR podcast with more stuff, with your host, Glenn Hallstrom.
Hi, folks. Old Man Grognard here. Hope you're all doing well. It's a nice day. And then in the year 1000, Thunderhead McGee lifted his fist and smashed the monster and drove him into the ground. That is the basis of the city of Blogledevd. And, oh my gosh. We'll talk about that after this. All right.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
One thing that that gamers don't like, box text. A lot of complaints about box text. What's the number two thing, though? A lot of lore, a lot of backstory, a lot of about the world. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I've seen books where I like the books, okay? I like the rule books. I like the books. Hyperborea and Tunnels and Trolls come to mind. But they have such a huge, you know, history of the world that I don't even like to sit there and read it, let alone, you know, have to dump it all to the players, you know, during the session. And don't get me started on Arduin. I've got a book over there, The Legendary Lands of Arduin, all about that. You know, God bless Hargrave. God bless Greenwood. You know, they put so much into their world, but man, trying to relate it into a game is not the easiest thing to do, okay? Because players they'll zone out. They'll just start looking at their phones and, you know, doodling or whatever, and maybe even crack another rule book or something. I don't know, but they're not listening. And that's not the point of doing the lore. First of all, if you have a world, whether it's published or something you came up with, and if you have a lot of lore, you do not have to dump it on them all at once. Please, new GMs, remember this. You don't have to sit there. I wouldn't even email them or PDF them this information because they're not going to read it. I mean, they may attempt, but they're not going to read it. So how do you get across to this world? How do you get across this whole, you know, about the world? Okay. One way to do it is in session zero. Okay. And let me back up before I do this. Let me back up to say that if you have a really, you know, involved world, give it to them in chunks. Give it to them in chunks and make sure it's appropriate for what you're dealing with, for what adventure you guys are in. Because that's one way to get the lore across. And see, in session zero, you can hand them a sheet you wrote up, what you know of this world, and give them like 5 or 6 bullet points that everybody knows in the world. That's a good place to start. That's a good place for them to start. So you want to go back and say, okay, this is the way this thing happens. People are like this, and this is the economy, and go. You know, they don't need to know anything else. Okay, how do you get lore to them during the game, during the course of the campaign. Well, you got to remember, lore is only good if it relates to what the player characters are doing. So they do not need to know the complete history of Scumtown over there from the last 1,000 years if they never go there or it doesn't relate to the story. So they don't need to know. And especially if it doesn't relate to the adventure they're on at the moment. Okay? What you have to do is, first of all, read your lore. Or if you wrote it, read over it. Yes, you have to do that in this circumstance. But you're the GM, you can do it. You're tough. But look over it and see what kind of, first of all, look at your adventure. What do you have adventure? What do you have, a module? What do you have, something you wrote? That's fine. Look over it, see where it takes place, when it takes place, and then look over your lore. Look over your lore and try and find points that you can use, that the players can use, relating to what you're running at that time. So they may never go to Scumtown, but if you had an adventure where they have to pass through Scumtown and get a artifact from a merchant there, that's a chance, or maybe even see a sage, better yet, even a sage, or some learned man where they have to get information. Information. They have to get information for this. You have dump a little lore on him. Dump a little lore on him about the town. And don't do it as the GM. That's another thing. The NPCs get out the lore, okay? Make that a rule in your head. The NPCs make the lore. You don't sit there as GM to explain that chunk of lore to them, unless they ask questions, of course. You know, you're not some omniscient narrator, you know, third person talking. No, the NPCs, they go to Scumtown. They got this weird shaped gem and they take it to a jeweler or a sage. The jeweler makes it. Oh, you might want to talk to our resident scholar over at Scumtown here. And you take it over there and he's, oh, yes, I remember this. Yes, I've read about this. Just a moment. And you start doing the NPC stuff. He pulls out a book, he blows the dust off the cover, he opens it. Ah, yes. See right here, in the third millennium, this gem was used to stop the horde of insects invading our fields and the insect lord who tried to take, and da 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 da. Okay, this relates to what they're doing, you know, it's related to this thing. And this is going to be a key if they have to go stop the insect lord or something like that. They can possibly find about it, about a weakness he has, about something they can exploit to stop him from rampaging the area. Okay, that is a good use of lore. And let me tell you, once you put it out there, it's there. They'll know it. Sure they're going to, oh, what was the thing again? Yeah. But no, but the point is, it's established. So they have something to go back to. Back to. And they can come back to that. As a matter of fact, I would write it down as a GM. You got the lore right there. You could just highlight it or write down another note or something like that. Okay, there's that. So that is now part of the world. That is information that is part of the world. That is the way you do lore. Lore is one of those things. You know, the whole point of having a campaign world, whether you made it up or you are appropriating some other world like Forgotten Realms or whatever like that, the whole point of it is for the players, in the course of these adventures, the player characters to discover stuff. And lore is part of that. So make the lore, the point is, make the lore fit your campaign. And like I said, once it's there, that's part of the lore. They have knowledge of it. If they write it down, that's okay, fine, write it down. But I will have a little note here saying who's who and what's what and, you know, what the whole deal is, whether it's one I bought, you know, a module I bought or a supplement I bought or I wrote something up or whatever. I will have it. So that's how you deal with lore dumps. Don't make them dumps. Make them part of the adventure. Now that I've said that, I do have to go start my day. I'm sorry. So if you guys want to talk about this or anything else, you can, you know, email me at oldmangrognar@gmail.com or drop me a voicemail at Spotify for Podcasters. Nobody does that anymore. Jeez, those are fun. Okay, well, we are monetized, so it's a little 99 cents. I forgot the spiel. So as little as 99 cents a month, you too can help support this program. I would thank you. And if you want to do a single donation, you can go to my Ko-fi page, ko-fi.com/oldmangrognard, or my PayPal tip jar, paypal.me/oldmangrognard. You will help me get to one convention in 1 year, or something like that. It all goes back. So, anyway, let me thank these people who do give to me monthly. Jason from Moro Project, Gilbert Soares, and Benjamin Brodell, thank you very much. For our other good podcasts, we have Dan Gregg's The Jung, Y-U-N-G, Jung Grognar podcast, Kevin at the Red Caps podcast, Daniel Norton's Bandits Keep podcast, Randy and Joe's Biggest Geekest podcast, Big John Allen Large's The Red Dice Diaries, and my friend Eric Pinker's Tavern Chat. So, until I see you folks next time, keep the dice warm, and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You got questions? You got comments? Send them to oldmangrognar@gmail.com. Tune in next time when Radio Grognard King Size is on the air.